Turn to the person next to you, tell them Merry Christmas. Come on, tell them that. And we are celebrating all that God does, and we're just so excited. As you remain standing, we're going to jump into the Word here. But if you're first time here, my name is Josiah. I'm the lead pastor of Freedom House Church, or one church in multiple locations, Fullerton, Irvine, online, Espanol, and soon to come to Anaheim. Come on, give God a clap. What's up, Irvine? Everybody online, welcome to our Christmas services. And we're just celebrating all that God has for us. If you haven't heard the news, we are getting ready to close escrow on a former Walmart. We're turning it into the house of God. Come on, somebody. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for praying. Why is that a big thing? It's a big thing because what we're giving God this Christmas is we're giving him a Walmart. And we're going to open it up for more salvations, more life change, more healing, more deliverance, more freedom. Come on, say amen. We're also going to be opening our Freedom House Preschool Academy. So many excited things, but none of it is possible without Jesus. And today we're going to talk about that, the true meaning of Christmas. Because what's Christmas about? That's right, it's about Jesus. If you say Santa, we're going to jump you. Amen. Just kidding. It's about Jesus. Hashtag kidding, not kidding. But I want to jump into the Word this morning. As you remain standing, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. And really thrilled to continue a message we've been speaking about all month long. And we have been really preparing to step into all that God has for us and God's going to do for us. And it's going to be something real exciting here. But Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, because we get to receive this Christmas gift. Because the greatest gift this Christmas is not going to come from Amazon. The greatest gift this Christmas came from heaven. It came wrapped in clothes and cloths in a manger and was given to you and I. And today I want to break that down and really celebrate the true meaning of Christmas. And it's so good to be in God's house on Christmas Eve. Come on, somebody. Who's going to open presents on Christmas Eve? Raise your hand. Chris, who does Christmas Eve? Okay. Only a few people. Who opens presents on Christmas Day? Come on. All right, cool. More people. Awesome. Well, today you're going to get a present. His name is Jesus. Come on, somebody. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. The Bible reads like this. It says, "For unto us," unto who? Us. So notice this gift is for us. "A child is born. Unto us, a son is given." Who's the son given for? Us. It was given to us. Why? Because it's us who need a Savior. Heaven did not need healing. Heaven did not need salvation. Heaven did not need freedom. We needed healing. We needed breakthrough. We needed freedom. So he sent his son for us. It says, "And the government will be upon his shoulder." We're believing God to change government and to be godly. Shout amen. "And his name will be called," what will it be called? "Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God," say it together, "Everlasting Father," and what's the last one? "Prince of Peace." We're going to talk about that one today. Verse 7, it says, "And of the increase of his greatness, of his government and peace, there will be no end. And upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, establish it with judgment and justice from this time forward, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord will perform this." God is passionate about his promises to you and I. I want to talk to you today. The title of my message is "The Prince of Peace." The Prince of Peace, because I know all of us need peace. Amen. Let's pray. Bow your head. Father, we thank you this morning, and we're so grateful this Christmas Eve, Sunday, because we get to remember, not in the liturgical sense or religious sense, but remember in a intimate relationship sense of why it is you came. Father, I'm grateful for this season, but the reality is nothing can bring the type of healing and peace that only you can bring. So Father, as we come to your word, let the scriptures come alive to us this morning. Let it not just be words on pages, but it'll be words on our heart, that we may be transformed to become the men and women you've called us to bring, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Come on, give God one more clap. You may be seated. Tell the person next to you, Merry Christmas. And then have a seat. Awesome, awesome. The Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. And we're going to talk about that today because peace is something we all need. Anybody need more peace? And all the parents said, that's right. Anybody has kids and you have teenagers said, double amen. Come on, somebody. All the married people said, amen. Right? We all need peace, and the truth is, peace is not something we want. Peace is something we need. So it's not like, you know what, I think I can have a little peace, why not? No, it's like, no, I don't want it, I need it. And God sent us his son, and one of the names that described his son was that he would be the Prince of Peace. He would be the essence of peace to bring it into our lives. And when God was going to send us his son, Jesus, he didn't just send his son and have us figure it out. He actually sent his son. This is what Christmas is all about, because he wanted us to know exactly what this gift was going to bring. And this child that was born, the Bible says, unto us, someone say me, personalize it, unto me this child was born. Unto me this son, this Savior has been given. And he gave him a name. And he gave him these names in Isaiah that we've been breaking down all month. I encourage you to go back and listen to each week. But he said he's going to be a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, everlasting Father, and lastly, the Prince of Peace. And he gave him these names because names are important. Like, if you have ever had a child, how many know naming them is important? We had four, and naming them was important. Like, there are certain names you can't choose. Come on, somebody. Like, if you ever dated anybody before you got married, how many know you ain't going to name them that? They're like, that's totally off limits. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't going to name the child that. That's like, he didn't get that guy. Come on, somebody. It's me. You know, you're not going to name a child, you know, anybody your wife didn't like. She like, I didn't like that girl. Come on, somebody. She ain't getting that name, right? So names are important. Like, it's like, if you're not careful, you can misstep a name, you know? It's like the Mann family. This one family, last name was Mann, they named their daughter Anita. You'll get it on the way home. Oh, I need a man. So her whole life. Someone say names are important. Come on, somebody. You know, it's like the Wright family. The Wright family, they named their daughter Eileen. The conversation never got off to the right foot. Come on, I'm on fire this morning. Tough crowd. It's Christmas, y'all. Go ahead and use that. You can use that material. Anyway, someone say names are important. And so God, when he was going to send his son, he gave him a name, but he didn't leave us wondering, like, well, what's he going to be? Like, what's he going to do? Like, why are you sending him? He's like, I'm going to tell you exactly what he's going to be. He's going to be a wonderful counselor. Like, why is he going to be a wonderful counselor? Because we need counseling. Some of us need to be fixed from our dysfunction. We need to be fixed from our brokenness. We need to be healed from the hurts. We need to be recovered spiritually, physically, emotionally from the trauma. So God says, I'm going to send you not just a counselor. I'm going to send you the wonderful counselor from heaven above that has the wisdom of heaven. Say amen. So I'm going to send you the wonderful counselor, the mighty God. What is the mighty God? El Dios fuerte. That my God is mighty. There is nothing my God cannot do. My God, there is nothing that is impossible with God. Come on, somebody. He's on my team. He says the everlasting Father. He'll be the Father we never had. And lastly, he says he'll be the Prince of Peace. And I want to talk about today, peace. Because I think one of the greatest gifts, and it's going to be a beautiful, at the end of the service, we're going to do a wonderful candlelight service. If you're watching online, get a candle. If you don't have a candle, just take one from your grandma right there. Just use it. Just kidding. Don't do this. She'll get mad. You know, just use a candle. It's going to be beautiful because this light has come to light up the world. And I'm going to tell you one way that you'll never have light in life is if you don't have peace. If you don't have peace, you won't have the light of life. That thing called peace is priceless. And the older I get, the more I know I need peace. Everybody just sit down. Just come on, somebody. I need peace. Amen. And so when we got with thing called peace, we need to define what it is. And God came to define it for us, because the world views peace. And I want to talk about this, opening thoughts, and we'll get into the meat and potatoes here. The world defines peace as something subjective. It's opinionative. It's kind of like what peace means to you doesn't mean to me. You find your own peace and you know, find your nirvana, your sign. Like, what are you talking about? You can't find peace in yourself. Okay, because when we always try to make peace subjective. Then what ends up happening is we try to ascribe peace to some type of place. Like, I'll have peace when I go on that vacation. But we've all figured out that you can go on the vacation and still not have peace. Especially if you took all your kids. Come on, somebody. Just joking. I love them. You're like, I'm just serving them. I am an Uber driver that works for free. Hallelujah. You know, like, you know, you can go on the best vacation, have a wonderful time, then you get in an argument with your wife. It happened to me. Maybe not you. Pray for me. And now, like, you're supposed to be happy. Come on, we've been planning this for 6 months. We're finally here, and here you are getting on my nerves. Just kidding. Come on. Here I am getting on your nerves. Come on, somebody. This is real talk. I'm sorry. Anybody come to real church? This is real church. Come on, somebody. You'll quickly find out that if you put peace on a place, that place will disappoint. And you'll be like, man, well, where's peace? Well, maybe peace is once I reach that income level. You know, once I get that promotion, if I could just break into a higher bracket of income, then you find out you got to pay more taxes. Come on, somebody. You'll break into a higher income, or you finally get that managerial position, or you become that you run your own company, and now you're like, I'll have peace once I'm my own boss. You know what? I'll live a more calm life once I go in business for myself. And all the entrepreneurs said, yeah, right. Come on now. You know? But if you think I'm going to start a business so I can work less, stay at your job. Little tip right there. Why? What am I trying to say? The reality is, when you get to a certain place, you're going to realize, as they call it, more money, more problems. Forgot what rapper said it. Brother, okay, amen. So you're going to find out that there's more. So what's the point? You're going to realize, well, I got this more stuff, but why don't I feel more peace? Or if you think it's an achievement, once I get that degree, once I get this, then I'll have more peace. And the truth is, you'll always be chasing it, because peace is not a place. Peace is not a position. Peace is a person, and his name is Jesus. Oh, I came to preach on Christmas morning. I said, peace is a person, and his name is Jesus. God said Jesus would be the Prince of Peace, that peace would be nowhere else but only in his son. Why? Because Jesus can give it. Jesus can dispense it, because Jesus is it. He is peace. First point, write this down. Number one, peace is a person. And what's his name? This is what Christmas is revealing to us. This is what Christmas, okay? I'm talking to you from the premise of Christmas. This is what we are celebrating in this time. We're celebrating that peace has come, goodwill towards men, that peace is not a place, peace is a person. And this is the gift of Christmas, that I can finally know where peace is. It's a person, and his name is Jesus. Luke chapter 2 and verse 14 says it like this, because all of us need peace. All of us are trying to look for peace. The Bible says, glory to God in the highest of heaven, and peace on earth to whom God is pleased. The Bible says, peace on where? In other words, God wanted to bring peace. He wanted to show us that this peace that he's given us is a peace that is much different than what the world thinks. The world thinks that peace is once we reach a certain level of world peace. And yes, of course, we want world peace. But the truth is that peace only comes when we come to Jesus. It comes when we come to him. I want to read to you one more verse, John chapter 14 and verse 27. Watch what the Bible says here. It says, Jesus said this. He says, I am leaving you a what? What is he leaving us? A gift. God's like, I have a gift for you. Like, this is a good gift. Like, he picked your name. You ever do like the I call it secret squirrel, you know, the secret Santa's, you're like, pick names. You ever have that one person you don't want to pick your name? You're like, please don't let Uncle Rico pick my name. He be giving them cheap gifts, you know what I'm saying? Give me like a scarf, and it's like, bro, the limit was, you know. But then there's that other person, you're like, I hope they pick my name. Like, they give good gifts. Like, where's all the good gift givers at? If you're a good gift giver, let's just clap for the good gift givers. You guys, man, we love you. Pick my name, please, okay? I mean, y'all go all out. You, like, rap it. You're like, wow, look at this rapping. Nice, you know? And it's like the good. Well, here's the good news. God picked your name. And he says, I have a gift for you. And he picked your name, and he's a good gift giver. I said, he's a good gift giver. I said, he's a good gift giver. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. He's the type of gift giver that he doesn't have to check if there's any money in the bank. He don't got to check if it's enough. God says, I'm going to give you what money cannot buy. I'm going to give you the best gift. I'm going to give you my son Jesus. Come on, somebody. He says, I got a gift for you. But check it out. Here's the gift. Ready for this? I'm leaving with you a gift. And what's this gift? Peace of, let's read it together. Peace of what? Peace of, and peace of heart. Stop right there. He says, I'm going to give you this gift, and this gift is peace of mind. I'm leaving this gift with you. And I love that he said, I'm leaving it, because it's not a gift that's good for one season, then I grow out of it. This is a gift that keeps on giving. It's like the person that bought me the bullet blender. Be using that thing all the time. This is a gift that keeps on giving. He's like, this gift, but this gift, watch this now, here we go, is peace of mind. I said it earlier in the message, but one thing I've realized as I'm getting older, that stuff's priceless. Peace of mind is priceless. Having peace in your mind is priceless. The more you start living, you start recognizing, that's what I really want. Like, for real, that's what I need. Because there'll be times where you're not going to be able to sleep. And I don't care how nice your home is or isn't. I don't care what pajamas you're sleeping in. I don't care what you have in the bank or don't have in the bank, or what the stock market did or stock market didn't do. You're going to realize that this thing called peace of mind is priceless. This thing called peace of mind, my goodness, you're trying to find it. And you go, where can I get this stuff? And you're going to realize that this is really what you've been desiring. It's peace of mind. The Greek word for peace is the Greek word eirene, which literally means a place of rest. The opposite of peace is restlessness. It is ability, and some of you know what I'm talking about because you're here this morning and you're realizing that there are things that you have in your life that you should be happy, but you're wondering, why am I not happy when I have what I have? Because peace of mind can only come from Jesus. I hear what I'm saying. It can only come from Jesus. Ain't nothing wrong with having stuff. I pray you're blessed and you got great stuff, but stuff can't bring you peace. And then he says, peace of heart. That's the good stuff. He says, this is the peace that he gives us. And I'm telling you, this Christmas, if you're searching for peace, it's only found in Jesus. Because watch what the following sentence says. It says, and the peace I give. Watch this now. This is Jesus. He says, the peace I give, watch this now, is a gift the world cannot give. I'm going to preach for a second. This type of peace you can't find in a bottle. This type of peace you can't find in Vegas. This type of peace you can't find in a drug. This type of peace you can't find in a relationship. This type of peace you can't find in a boo. This type of peace you can't find on a vacation. This type of peace you cannot find on a high. You can only find this peace when you come to the Most High. It's a peace that the world didn't give me, and the world can't take it away. Give God a Christmas praise if you got some peace. Shout amen. Tell your neighbor, I need some of that peace. Matter of fact, say, give me a peace. I'm a hope dealer. I'm a hope dealer. I'm a hope dealer. I'm a hope. I said hope dealer. Hey, you got some of that peace? Boom. Kind of addicted to this peace. That's why I come on Sunday. That's why I worship. That's why I praise. That's why I read my word. Come on. Well, come on, somebody. That's why I pray. That's why I honor God. I gotta live honoring God. I can't be disobedient, because when I'm disobedient to God, then I lose my peace. I lose my peace. I lose my peace. But when I'm obedient to God, when I follow his word and I walk in his ways, and if I mess up, I get back up and get right. I'm telling you, God downloads a peace in my heart that I couldn't find on a high. If you know what I'm talking about, say amen. Because the alternative, we will, all of us, me included, we will try to prescribe our own peace. And we go to the world and we try to prescribe, well, you know, I feel restless. You get wiggly, just not happy. You know, I feel like I need something more. Like God, and the enemy will get in your ear and try to tell you God isn't enough. I need something more. And we try to prescribe our own peace. And we all know what happens. We just end up worse off than we first left off. Because peace And I pray you go to nice places. Listen, please don't misunderstand this message. Because there's something different happens when you got that peace and you go to a nice place. You go, thank you, Lord, but this ain't everything. You know what I'm talking about? Thank you, Lord, but this ain't everything. Like all this stuff, I thank you for this, Lord, but this stuff ain't the source of my peace. Like all of this, I got something that the world didn't give me. Come on, somebody. So the devil can't take it when stuff goes away. Say amen. Christmas is revealing to us that peace is a person. And I want to encourage you this morning that this is the gift I want to introduce you to. And I told you at the end, we're going to have a wonderful time of a candlelight service, and you're going to take a picture for social media. Cool, go for it, you know. But it's a person. Don't miss the whole reason for the season. Amen? That he is a person. The Bible then says it like this in John chapter 20 and verse 19. It says, that Sunday evening. Which Sunday? Someone say Sunday evening, right? Christmas Eve, Sunday evening. It says, that Sunday the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were what? They were afraid of the Jewish leaders. But suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them, and he said, peace be with you. Why? Because Jesus was there. Because Jesus was there, peace can be with him. He's like, I am here with you. Because this type of peace comes into our lives as a method of coming through Jesus. And God gives us this peace. And this peace is different. Because God never promised that he would take us around the storm. He just promised he'd be with us through the storm. Because peace is a person. And what's his name? Jesus. And when Jesus is with you, you can have peace. The best analogy I can give you, I took him to the park. And my daughter, when she's playing in the park, I play. And, you know, go push them on the swing, but then they want to start doing monkey bar stuff. I'm not down with the monkey bars. That's like expert level. Go ahead. So I'll sit on the bench. And they'll always look back at me, right? See where I'm at. And as long as I'm there, there's peace. But I went to go throw something away because I was finished with my coffee. And she looked. She didn't see me. Dad! I'm over here, baby. I'm peaceful again. You will lose your peace when you don't know that Jesus is with you. Come on, somebody. But when you get a person that knows Jesus is with me, God is with me. I said, God is with me. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me. You deliver me from all evil. Though 1,000 fall to my left hand and 10,000 to my right hand, it shall not come near me. Why? Because you are my refuge. You are my strong tower. Someone say, Jesus is with me. So there's a level of peace. God, you're with me. Emmanuel, say, I'm going to send my son Jesus. This is Christmas, y'all. Man, I'm so grateful because there are so many times I need God. Listen, I need God. Like I don't think you heard it said, I need God. I need God. And that's what brings peace. So God gave us this peace. What did he give us? Peace. But this peace is a gift. Someone say it's a gift. So give me that gift if you can for me. So he gave us a gift. Thank you so much. I got a gift. Peace came. Woohoo! He gave us peace. It's a gift. And you can open the gift like any gift. How do you guys open gifts? Are you like the nice openers? Oh, wow, look at the wrapping. Oh, how many rip it open? How many just rip it open? Okay, good for you. Amen. My son David likes to help us open all the gifts in the house, even if it's not his. So you open it. And just like any gift, you open it. And he says, I gave you this gift, but you got to open it. You got to unwrap it. You got to receive it. Okay? It's not enough just to say, oh, thank you for the gift, and you take it home. How many know you got to open it? Yeah. See, some people haven't got peace because you haven't opened your relationship with God yet. Come on, somebody. You've been given it, but why don't I got peace? Because you haven't unwrapped it. It takes an unwrapping in this relationship thing. You got to be able to start beginning to say, God, I want to unwrap this gift. You open your word, you start to pray, you start to have a real relationship with God, like a for real devotional life where you're like, God, I want to unwrap this thing called peace. so that I can experience it in my heart and in my mind, because this stuff is priceless. You have to unwrap it. So you unwrap it, right? Any good rappers in the house? My wife wraps all the presents. You don't want me to wrap the presents. No, actually, I do. I rap. My name is Josiah. I am on fire. Sorry. I'm having fun. If y'all ain't having fun, I'm having fun. The Lord lifts me higher and higher. Amen. That's it. That's all I got. Okay. No. If you're waiting for more, sorry. Next album drop next year. Anyhow. So you open the gift. And when you open it, let me tell you something I learned about God that I've learned and I'm learning, because I don't want to make it seem like I figured anything out. God always amazes me. What I've learned about God is everything he gives you is never what you expect. Because I always have like my plan, but God's purpose prevails. And just like Jesus came in a method they didn't expect him, peace is going to come in your life in a method sometimes we don't expect. Because we think God just download peace in my heart and just, boom, let it be done with. But what God did is he gave us peace, but he gave us peace in a method that would give us an authority. And he gave us peace in a way to control it. It's like a remote control. And you're like, what do I do with this? Point number two, write this down. God wants you to have control over the level of peace in your life. He wants you to have control. Yes, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, came into our heart, but why? So that you would have the authority to now control the level of peace in your life. That the level of peace in your life will no longer be controlled by another person, by trauma, by something that happened. That peace will not be controlled by your ex. I'm preaching real good. Peace will not be controlled by a health condition, but my peace will be controlled by the Prince of Peace who comes from heaven above and fixes all things. Say amen. And that now you have the ability through Jesus to control the level of peace in your life. And so here are four quick ways. I gotta move quick here. So subpoint 2.1. Here are four quick ways of how to increase the level of peace. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you and whose thoughts are fixed in you, Isaiah 26:3. And how do we fix our thoughts on him? We fix them through these four things. Here are four ways to set the channel of how to have peace in your life. Get it? Remote control channel? Okay, tough crowd. Number one, here's how. How to have true, genuine peace with God is when we place our trust in Jesus as our personal Savior. This is the greatest peace you can have in your life. When you say, God, I hand over my life, the remote control of my life, and I give it to you as my personal Lord and Savior. This is the greatest peace that can come into your heart. Because the restlessness or fear that we have of dying, or the fear we have of things happening to our lives, will always hang over your head. What does humanity do with their sin? What do we do with our humanity, our frailty? We don't have any answer, but oh, through Christ Jesus, we have victory. And we must receive him as our personal Lord and Savior. And I just want to tell you this morning, if you've come to this Christmas Eve service and you have not surrendered your life to him as Lord and Savior, that is the first way to bring peace into your life, because you'll never be at peace with people until you're at peace with God. Did you hear what I said? You'll never be at peace with people until you're at peace with God. You'll never be at peace with yourself until you're at peace with God. And many, many of us at one point, if not currently, you're at enmity with God, the Bible says. Because to love the world, to be disobedient to his ways and in sinful acts, what happens is we become an enmity with God, and we are not at peace within ourselves. We are literally an enemy of God. But when we surrender and say, God, I'm not going to fight you anymore. God, I'm not going to run from you anymore. God, because some of you, God's been chasing you. God, come on, somebody. God has been chasing you. God has been getting your attention. And I'm encouraging you, if you surrender to God, you say, God, I finally surrender to you. I'm not going to run from you. I'm not going to try to do life my own way. I surrender to you. And when you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior, you will feel the most peace you ever felt in your life. That's where I was. I was, you know, of course, before I got saved, doing all the things that we're doing, and you're trying to find peace. But when I finally surrendered to him as Lord and Savior, he became the Lord of my life, and I felt a peace I have never felt. I have never, come on, somebody. You ain't never been high till you've been with the Most High. Come on, some. I was like, Lord, This is in my life, and I want you to know that this is what Jesus came to give you, is he came to give that peace. And let me just say this, if you lost a loved one, because we who are believers know this, that if you lose a loved one, maybe Christmas is before, or this Christmas, is that it's never goodbye, it's since we see you again. Because when you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we are secured eternity in heaven. That we are not afraid of death. We're not trying to die now, but we're not afraid of death, because death is simply a transition from the earthly to the eternity. And that we will spend eternity with God. We shall rule with him in heaven. We shall be in a place he has prepared for us where no more weeping, no more crying, no more sickness, no more death. But we shall be with him in the clouds, the Bible says. Why? Because I have Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Say amen. Number two, how do you bring peace in your life? Is when we believe he has sovereign control. Someone say sovereign control over every detail. God has control over every detail. The Bible says in Psalms 103, it says it like this. It says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over what? Rules over what? All. God is in control of every detail. And I want to encourage you this morning that the way you're going to bring peace into your life is when you understand that God is in control of every single detail. Is when you can say, God, I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know this, is that you're in control. That God, you are in control, and you're going to work out every single thing for my benefit. Because Romans 8:28 says that I know that all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. You know when you need to say, God, you're in control the most? Is when things are out of control. But it almost feels contradictory, because when things are out of control, you're like, God, do you know what's going on here? And we feel like God's not in control. Raise your hand. Come on, if that's you. I'll raise my hand and my foot. Yeah, that's how I feel. It's like, God, he's just out of control. But what brings peace into my life is when I go like this, God, you're in control. I don't know what's going on, but I do know this, you're in control. I don't know what my future holds, but I know who holds my future. God, you're in control. And God, when he's in control, he works out in his way and his timing, and that'll bring peace to your heart. Because there are some times where I don't understand. Listen, my wife and I, we couldn't have kids for the first five years of our marriage, and I didn't understand that. I didn't understand. We're fasting and praying, and we didn't understand. And there are times that, you know, we're just praying, but we just say this, God's in control. I would tell my wife, God is the giver of life. He's in control, and we're going to trust him. And man, there were some really tough times in our marriage. My wife felt, you know, she's like, went through a really hard time emotionally. And she would say, you know, I can't even give you a child. And I'm like, listen, we got married. Not about that. God is in control. And that brought peace to our heart. 5 years later, we finally, you know, God healed us and we had miracle kids. And to God be the glory. We give him praise for that. And I'll be honest with you, though. I'm like, God, why'd you make us wait? I mean, why should I have to do 5 years? Why can't you just do it the first year? Like, you know, I could have ate a lot more cheeseburgers, not be fasting so much. It's real talk. Like, why'd you make us wait? And I remember the Lord spoke to my wife and I, and this is what the Lord said. He said, because I needed you to be the parents now that you are today, not the parents you were back then. Come on, somebody. Someone say, God's in control. Pretty much God was saying, I needed you to grow up. I picked up what he was dropping. I hear it, Lord. You're too immature. You weren't ready yet. You needed to build our relationship before we had other kids come in. There's some healing God had to do in me. Come on, don't look at me like you don't need healing. I said there was some healing God had to do in me. Anybody else need some healing? Come on, somebody. Amen. God is in control. God was like, I needed to build you to be the men and women you are today to raise the miracle kids I'm going to give you. And let me tell you something. Those days now when I go back, I say they make sense. Thank God that he was always in control. And I just want to encourage somebody that maybe you're in the middle of your storm. You're in the middle of your fire. You're in the middle of your difficulty. I want to tell you, God is in control. Be at peace. Quiet your soul. Be still and know that he is God. God, because he's in control. Say amen. Tell your neighbor, he's in control. And that should bring peace into your life. Number three, I got to move quick. Trust in the Lord to meet all your needs. The Bible says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and his glory. I talked about this last week when I told you, Everlasting Father. He's a Father that will supply your needs. He'll supply miracles into your life, yes, even financially, but also supply you with things that you need emotionally, mentally. He is the supplier, so you can have peace knowing this. God, you, wherever you guide, you'll provide. Wherever you lead, you will equip me, Father. Number four, and I wrap it up right here, is this, and this is so important, because don't miss this point. How can we have peace in our lives? Subpoint 4, 2, 4. The control is trusting God will fill our emptiness. Because there's this thing that plagues humanity. We're going to get ready here in a minute for our candlelight service, but there's something that plagues humanity. And it's the sense of emptiness that all of us will have. Where you will walk through life with a void, a chasm, and feel like, why can nothing satisfy that hole in my heart? You can try to fill it with an experience. You can try to fill it with drugs. You can try to fill it with relationships. You can try to fill it with, you know, people. You try to fill it with, steak dinners. And you will eat, you can have the greatest steak dinners, but still feel, why do I feel empty? You can even have the things that other people would want and say, man, you got all of that. And you're like, yeah, thank you. But yet you go home behind closed doors, you go, why do I still not feel happy? You're like, why am I not, I should be happy and I have the things that everybody else wants, but I'm not happy. And I'm gonna tell you why. Because nothing can fill that emptiness but Jesus Christ. Nothing. And you won't feel that peace. You'll be like, why is it not? Because that hole in our soul is a God-sized hole. And only God can fill that. And he knew that. And that's why he sent his son Jesus. He sent his son Jesus to be the Prince of Peace, but to also light up that part of our heart that is empty, and to become the light of the world. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 4, he said this, he says, in him was life. In who? Say Jesus. In him was life, and that life, what was it? It was the light of all mankind. It's that peace that transcends all understanding. It comes from Jesus that sometimes doesn't even make sense. They're like, it don't make no sense, the peace you have. And you're like, because this peace comes from the light of life, and his name is Jesus. And you'll have it, because I've seen people have cancer in the body, but yet be like, Lord, you are my light and you are my life. Though my body may fail, my soul, come on somebody, is with you. And there's something different when you have the blessings of God and you prosper. And you have all that, but then you can say deep in your heart, because you know with conviction, that it's not the stuff that gives you life. You know that what gives your family life, what gives you life, is the fact that Jesus fills that empty hole in your heart. Come on, somebody. Because there'll come a time, if you're not there yet, where you will need that emptiness filled. And I'm going to tell you right now, that Gucci belt won't fill it. Go ahead and go get a Gucci belt. You look good in it. Go ahead. But I'm telling you, when you're crying, you're going to be like, Gucci belt. Okay? You don't care. It has no life. That's no life. But when you feel empty, you're going to say, Jesus. And he's going to fill your heart. And he's going to fill that emptiness that nothing else could fill. And you're going to say, thank you, Jesus, that you are the life, and that life was the light of man. And you are wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. We're going to light candles here in a second, because we're going to light that light in remembrance of what really lights our life up is Jesus. Before I do that, I really want to pray for you to receive that light. Let's all stand to our feet if we can together.
Thanks so much for watching our service at Freedom House OC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's always my honor, my wife's honor to bring you God's word. And I know that God's best is in your future. Make sure to share, click the bell icon so you're always up to date when new content comes out, because we want to be a blessing to your life. We want this channel to be a channel that feeds your future and leads you closer to God. Hey, we love you. God bless.